not blind. And I actually am pretty good with technology, so I'm lucky in that way. I think I'm coming from this place of hearing and just presuming that we're all on the in the same place of wanting this all to work, wanting to provide the best that we all can do to provide the state of Connecticut and the people in it with all the services that we have, you know. We're all coming from this place to help, really. So we have to start there. And it's the communication breakdown that I think is the big issue from what I'm hearing. What piqued my interest from the beginning of this conversation was the talk of the survey. I looked up in my email, and I have the email. I presume that this is the survey that we're talking about because I have it from Shelley Rockcliffe survey link, and it's from Jotform. Is this what we're talking about? Yes. Okay. So number one, yes. As far as I know, I wasn't aware that a survey was being done at all, so I wasn't looking for it. I wasn't aware that it was coming in my email, so I wasn't sort of looking for it. That's number one. Number two, when it came in the email, all it says is BESBE Strategic Conversation Survey. That's what it was titled. So it didn't sort of explain what, you know, anything more in detail, so I knew what I was looking at. And then the actual link, all it is survey link, and then, you know, the form name. There wasn't an explanation in it for somebody who's maybe less tech savvy to sort of say, this is how, you know, you're going to do this, this is what you're going to do, you're going to click on it and open it. There was no explanation of what it was. To be honest, I was a little hesitant to open it, and I didn't end up opening it because I was like, well, what is this thing? And I don't know what it is, and, you know, my husband's in tech security, so I'll be really honest. I don't open anything without knowing what the heck it is. And since I didn't know what it was when it was coming to me, it was like, wait, what is this thing? So I felt like I had no explanation of what it was to begin with. Didn't know it was coming to me in the first place. And then there was no explanation in the body of the email to let me know what was in it. So all of those things were a breakdown in communication as far as I'm concerned. I would have loved to have participated in it had it sort of what it was. Now, my breakdown in communication, what I failed to do, was I could have very easily have written back and said, can you please let me know? And that was a failure on my part, because I just sort of let it lie there. I think I had intended to, and it just fell off of my radar at that point. So I don't know if other people found the same thing, that why they didn't know what it was, and it sort of fell to the back of their head, and they forgot to write in or whatever. But that was where it sort of fell apart for me, that I just didn't understand what it was, didn't know it was coming to me in the first place, and it didn't have any kind of identification in the email. Because it really would have been a useful thing to understand that it was coming my way, that effort was being put forth to create the survey in the first place, because these surveys, I've created them for a lot of different organizations that I've worked for. They take a lot of time and effort to, and it is an important one, being that we're placed on all very concerned that is it fits the organization and does a great job. So you can understand how we would feel a little bit like, oh man, did we mess up? Was there bad communication? What's going on? I could be the only one feeling the way. But this is what I heard that, and went, oh my gosh, what went wrong? So when I opened this up and saw that, I went, oh, now I'm wondering what happened. I wanted to let you guys know so that when you're saying, oh, we sent this out, we would have liked more participants, whatever, that you can understand where the breakdown happened, at least for me. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Catherine, it's Cheryl. Thank you. And I can certainly retake a look. And please, I said this earlier, I'll say it again, that was not one and done. I had put a date on it to get some initial information to inform, but please feel free to fill it out. Please feel free to redistribute it. I just talked to somebody last week. It actually might have been one of our teachers. It's escaping me. And who asked if they could use it with their students and with their clients. Absolutely. So again, if we need to get this back out, I duly noted, I will take a look at the initial email that went out. Please announce it at any of your meetings. Again, I'm more than happy. It's still open. It's still able to be responded to. And if I can, if you have any specific suggestions on language or anything like that, please shoot me an email. Again, duly noted and appreciate your comments, and please know that that can continue to be filled out, and I will continue to compile any input into any of our ongoing conversations.
I think it would be really useful in the future if we get an email saying, hey, just so that you understand, you know, we're getting out an email with a link to a survey concerning this. We would appreciate it being in by this time. That we understand it's coming in, we're looking for it, and then maybe even in the link with it, you know, this is what you do, and an explanation of how to do it for those that aren't, you know, that haven't done a lot of these kind of surveys. That'd be lovely. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kevin.
Hi, it's Kristen. Are you available to open to non-board members for comments?
I was just getting to that, Kristen. Thank you, Catherine, for your comment. Are there any other board members who wish to comment or ask questions? Board members going twice. Oh, did I hear somebody?
Well, that was Andrew. I wanted to backfill on an earlier question without interrupting the flow. But as far as special assistants, a couple of months ago, we hired two new special assistants. We now have five, and so we have enough special assistants to drive and assist our blind field staff. We were down with departures last year and into the beginning of this year, but we hired two new special assistants, and we're up to five, and we have enough to meet the appointment needs and scheduling needs of our current blind field staff. And as Amy points out, if we hire more field staff who are blind, then we'd look to finding what we need to do to fill any gaps. But right now, we're set. And I just wanted to say that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate that. Board members. We've gone once, we've gone twice, one more time. All right, Kristen, you have the floor.
Oh, thank you. Several comments relating to what many people have said. First of all, I think, Cheryl, it might have been me you were speaking to about the survey, and I was really glad to hear that the timing is not up. And Catherine and Elaine, I think it was Elaine, both, you know, like I said, I run the support group through Bessie, and nobody in my group heard of the survey. Not one person heard that there was a survey. And that made them very angry, I must say. So, you know, there obviously seems to be a lack of communication in how to get the survey out. I happened to find out about it personally through NFB. But, like Elaine said, there's a lot of people that are blind that are not affiliated with any kind of agency other than BESB. And those are the people that, you know, the services are for, and those are the people that didn't get the survey. So, you know, obviously communication is a big thing, and I have plenty of ideas on how we can help that situation. If you'd like to talk to me about that separately at a different time, I would be very glad to speak with you on that. I do appreciate that there are many things that it sounds like
you're working on, and it sounds like you're addressing a lot of the needs that we have, but again, the communication is such that we didn't even know these things. And I think, you know, the more people understand about what the situation is, then the less, like somebody else said, they don't make up stuff in their head about, you know, not caring, or, you know, they just don't see my needs, or blah, blah, blah. You know, you do. It's just there's a lot of situations that people don't understand are roadblocks. And, you know, the communication, I think, would be something that is a huge portion that could really, you know, as part of your new strategies and management, spend a lot of time on the communication. With that, I will stop. Thank you.
This is Amy. I just wanted to say thanks for that and the reminder of that. And that's, you know, I was really happy when I saw the opportunity for the special meeting. I know people were asking, you know, there's a board meeting in June. Does it, you know, do we need to do the special meeting? You know, but I think you're right. It's important. And I think, I know we talked about that internally. If there's angst out there and people aren't able, they don't have a vehicle, they don't have a way to ask the questions. That's why I think this is a great opportunity, and I appreciate the board pulling the special meeting together, because otherwise we don't have a good, easy channel to communication out. So I think you're right, it's something we can continue to work on, and really would value any input on how to best do that. I think Brian had a distribution list, but there's probably other channels that we could use to get information out and make sure that we're doing that well, and it's going to take all of us kind of working together on that. So thank you.
Another question from the public? Nathaniel, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have to echo what a number of board members and what Kristen had said regarding communication and regarding follow through. I was very concerned to hear that we advertised for rehab teacher and a rehab technologist position, and that those postings are out on the street, that you are taking applications. And even though you have told us in NSD that you know, you would send them out, you know, widely, and would send them to us, and indeed used to send those sort of things to us, and yes, you could have done a better job at explaining what the position was, but at least we knew something that we could look at and look up and forward on to interested candidates, both within the state and through our national network. We've not seen that. And so I understand, Cheryl, that you're going to loop back with Beth Leibel. I have every confidence that Beth Leibel will let us know what's going on. And she's the reason that many of us are at this meeting today, because when she got the notice, she forwarded it on to people, and people showed up and let us know it was important. Well, you know, again, I think it's very important that you loop back and find out exactly what happened and what broke down. Now, I understand there's a lot of HR process involved. I work for the federal government. Sometimes positions that become open and that are advertised are only advertised internally. Maybe that's the case, and that's fine. But if it's advertised publicly, NSB needs to be included. And to be fair to Eileen Akers, the American Council of the Blind, it also needs to be included. And that's only fair. They too are consumers. They too are a key component of a significant consumer organization in this country, and also have a nationwide outreach. And you know, I've lived in other states where the predominant recognized group of blind consumers is the American Council of the Blind. I no more want NFB to be treated as a second thought or not at all in those states as I want ACB to be treated in this state. So a couple of things. I appreciate what I've heard, but I've heard a lot of it over the past few months, and now we have these positions out. You're taking applications now, and this is the first time that any consumer organization or interested consumers in this state have heard of it. And what I would say is, and this is something the federal government does in its hiring process, sometimes if they find out that there's been a problem with the job posting, they will extend the application deadline. If you find out that there has been a problem and the applications are going to close, I don't know, tomorrow or even next week, please consider extending the posting because there has been a communication problem. And we will make sure, and I am sure that other consumer leaders will make sure that these announcements get out not only within the state of Connecticut, but also to people who we should be hoping to attract to our great state. Thank you.
Thanks, Nathaniel. Any other questions from the public?
With respect to this survey, this is the first I've heard of it as vice chair of the SRC and a service recipient. I'm concerned that I've not been part of this or had the opportunity to participate in the survey. So I'd like to know who the survey was distributed to. If it were only NFB, as I thought I heard earlier, that's a very tiny population opposed to the entire visually impaired to blind in Connecticut, which is about 100,000.
Thanks for the question. And, I've been multitasking. I apologize, but I'm trying to get information in real time. And I probably need to circle back offline to Alan and Gary from SRC. We did talk about the survey at those meetings. I'm going to say a couple months ago. I'd have to look at dates. The survey did go out to those two groups for distribution. It did go out to NFB. And as I was hearing from people, I sent it out. Again, I'm more than willing to get this sent back out. Please put information in the chat or email me directly, and I will follow up in redistributing or distributing anew this link to people. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Cheryl. I see Sandra Streeter, you have your hand up. Go ahead.
Alan Gunsberg.
I'm sorry, Alan Gunsberg, were you in line in front of Sandra? I apologize for that.
Nope. That's okay, no problem, Alan. First of all, thank you for pulling the meeting together. I appreciate all the work that you've done for Besby, and thank you very much. Thank you, Commissioner, thank you, Andrew, thank you, Cheryl. It's been very eye-opening. One of the things that makes Besby unique is that it serves a population of deafblind. And the deafblind during the pandemic has really taken it pretty hard on the chin. Living separately, not being able to get their special people, their special helpers showing up, and so forth and so on. But I would recommend to you that you take a look at how weak you are at Zooms that are very accessible and very inclusive and bring everybody together so that we can bring people with all disabilities onto one call and have everybody's needs met. I recommend that you take a look at that, Commissioner, for future Zooms for your department. Second of all, working very closely, not only with the rehab technology, and also working with vocational rehabilitation, we're working very hard at the state to make opportunities
and accessible opportunities for jobs available throughout the state. And it concerns me that the VR program is down four specialists. And I don't know how we can move that to the top so that we can match the synergies going on at the Governor's Workforce Council, so that we can look at making a bigger dent in the unemployment. I understand that some of the jobs that we're talking about at DESPE might include people who have disabilities, but there are plenty of jobs within the state that we can try to offer to people. So that's my comment. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for that. And I just want to say, you know, I've seen some statistics recently on our BESV Voc Rehab program, and they, Mary, I don't know if you want to speak to the two things that you just sent recently to us, if you're still on the line, about where BESV is sort of taking a lead. Do you want to speak to that?
Sure, no problem. Well, I participated in the National Council for State Agents, the NCSAB, National Council of State Agencies for the Blind. It's a national conference. An RSA presented at the conference regarding agencies that have bounced back basically after the pandemic. So they gave a PowerPoint presentation with graphs on the agencies, and they separated the blind agencies from the general agency. Usually when we submit in our statistics, it's statewide. They usually combine the two agencies, but NCSAB separated the two. So we came out as number second in two categories as having the highest number of intakes and eligibilities, you know, bouncing back after the pandemic. So we increased basically the quickest, the second quickest in the country as far as serving individuals coming back for eligibilities and intakes. So they did the comparison from 2019 to 2022, the end of 2021, beginning of 2022. So that was a positive. It means that we were, you know, we're reaching out to our clients and making sure that we're getting individuals back in the system. Our program during the pandemic did a big outreach as far as calling in all of our new referrals, all the newly blind individuals coming into the agency, and some of our past individuals who had been in Voc Rehab. So we did a big outreach effort to make sure that individuals were doing okay during the pandemic, that they were, you know, like whether they had lost their job, if they're teleworking now, do they need our assistance? So that actually panned out in our as coming back as the second highest coming back from the pandemic. So I thought that was good. It was definitely a positive because a lot of states were low. So so we're trying. We tried as much as we can to do outreach, especially since we were just, people were losing jobs and not going back into the workforce as quickly, so.
Thanks, Mary, for that. And Alan, it sort of reinforces, you know, the importance of making sure that we refill those positions, and we are committed to doing that, you know, the critical positions, so that as we're bouncing back, as we're one of the strongest in the country in terms of bouncing back, that we have the folks to be able to help access the jobs that we have here in Connecticut. So thank you for that, and we'll definitely pay attention to that. The other issue about the deafblind community, I wholeheartedly agree. There are some different issues there, some challenging issues. We've talked about that. There's also, you know, we have this advisory board, but we also have an advisory board for individuals who are deaf, hard of hearing, or deafblind, and some of those issues come up there as well. And I think that's another opportunity for us to sort of streamline some of those conversations and make sure that we're considering the needs of that population as well, and trying to understand what happened as a result of the pandemic and what that looks like. So appreciate the comments in both of those areas.
Thanks, Dana. Andrew Streeter?
Yeah, I was on mute before, sorry.
No worries.
So I'm wondering whether BESV has any plan at all to expand into people with co-occurring things like blindness and autism, being ASD myself. And if you know anything about autism, you know that, like aging, the numbers are not going down. And in my area, for adults, autism services for just plain autism are kind of subpar for people like me who are degreed, and you know, we have less of a struggle, but we're not being addressed. And autism and blindness combined kind of makes different needs than just autism or blindness. So I'm hoping maybe BESBY could expand into that area. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for your comments there. You know, obviously we're probably not going to be the primary agency for autism, but we do provide services for individuals with autism. We provide vocational rehabilitation services, and if somebody does have a co-occurring disability with any other disability besides blindness, we try to meet those individualized needs. But definitely keep us in the loop of where you see those gaps, and what specific services you're looking for, and we can try to consider that as we think about what BESBY needs to do to succeed in the future.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the public? Hearing none for the time being, I would like to ask whether BESBY has any plans for a more formalized system of surveying the members of the blindness community. For example, the dot form questions, I looked at those, and to my mind, it occurred to me that those are the kinds of questions that someone like me would be more comfortable answering in a small group setting, such as those that happen with focus groups, because they are open-ended questions, and some people have an easier time doing that within a group setting where they get prompts from other members of the group. There are things that may not occur to them given the open-ended nature of the question that would in a group setting. The other thing that I'm thinking about is surveying a representative subset of the blindness community in a mail-in survey or a phone survey. Mail-in surveys are notorious for their low return rates, but a phone survey, and I grant that those are expensive and they require time and expertise to develop. So that leads to the question of whether BESBY would be interested in engaging a contractor to look into those forms, surveying the community, to get maybe clearer, more concise answers, and also to get an opportunity to have experts actually gather comments, synthesize them, and put them out in something in the form of a report so that agency leadership would see just exactly where the community is coming from and have its fingers more firmly on the pulse of what's going on in the blindness community. So I invite you, Amy, and Cheryl to comment on that later.
Yeah, thanks for the idea, Al. We need to think about that in general, right? Not just for the blindness community, but for the populations that our department serves, for the full aging and disability spectrum. We don't necessarily get funding for that, right? Sometimes there are grant opportunities where we might be able to apply for a grant and be able to do research on our particular topic or a discrete area. And we continue to look for grant opportunities, things like that, but we don't have researchers on staff and we don't necessarily have a pot of money to be able to do that, because our services, our funding is typically tied specifically to direct services. So it's something we can look at. It's something I would love to have a broader perspective on what those needs are, especially because you've heard me say a couple times today, I feel like things have changed dramatically. You know, I've worked in the disability field, you know, since the beginning of my career, and things were kind of steady state for a while, and the pandemic has flipped everything on its head for people with disabilities and for older adults. So I think it would be great to be able to do that. We don't necessarily have a great funding mechanism for that, but it's something we can try to, you know, keep our eyes out for. So thank you for the comments on that.
the only thing I was going to add, Amy and Al, is that we do have the relationship with Central, and we are working